Thank you. It's certainly good to be back this morning. And I tell you, y'all treated me real well. I sure enjoyed being in Brother Scott and Sister Blair's home last night and all that good treatment. The only thing that bothers me a little bit about this good treatment up here is that some of us, probably Sister Deborah and Brother Harry included, would like to have Brother Will back down closer to home. And y'all keep treating him like you treated me. Y'all might keep him up here. But we enjoyed it. I was at a funeral one time, and neighbor ours, a Mennonite preacher, was killed in a farm accident. And I went to the funeral and kept on getting up there. And I was sitting next to the funeral director there in town, and I leaned over and I said, "Brother Sonny, I'd give you $50 if you let me try to preach." Well, you know, that's, they say, two times when you want to preach, when you hear bad preaching, and bless their hearts, I'm sure they meant well, but they didn't say a thing in the world that I could find any comfort in for that family at that time, that day. And the other times when you hear good preaching, but that's not always the case for me. Sometimes when I hear good preaching, I just want to hear some more good preaching. I was, y'all got these comfortable pews. They make them now. These new ones are big. They're comfortable for big people. I think old church pews are they're made for little people. But these pews are comfortable even for a big fellow like me. And I was mighty comfortable sitting here last night in a comfortable pew and hearing that good preaching. So I hope you won't be disappointed this morning. And pray the Lord will be with us as we stand before you. Just a little while this morning. You know, in reading the scriptures, sometimes my experience is this way, and I trust it's of the Spirit. It'll be kind of like maybe fishing. You know, there'll be there'll be a certain bait maybe. You know, I've been fishing with other folks. And I'm not that good a fisherman, but there'd be something on their bait that attract the fish, you know, a little bit better than what I was doing. And that just sort of be something to catch him or snag him. Well, when I read the scriptures, there's sometimes maybe a verse, a particular idea in a passage that's the bait, that's the hook, that's what catches me and gets my interest in that particular subject. And that's the way it's been with these few verses found in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John the Apostle is telling about John the Baptist here. And John the Baptist talks about his experience with Jesus Christ in quite a bit of detail. But I just love this. After he told them about the Lord, we'll go back and look at some of that in a little bit. But in verse 35, it says, "Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak." That is, they heard John the Baptist speak. They heard him speak and they followed Jesus. They heard John the Baptist speak and they followed Jesus. Now, you know, I'm a human being. And I would like for some of you to remember my name after I go back to South Georgia. That's just our nature. And I'd like to have that close a fellowship with you, that we know one another by name. But that's not the main thing. Not that you remember my name or remember anything about me. But if I'm blessed to stand before you and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified in such a way that you remember something about Him a little more and want to follow Jesus, then my efforts will not be in vain. That's what matters, is that God's people can be directed away from the cares of this world and be directed, their attention be directed to Jesus Christ, and they follow Him.
Amen.
I tell you what. You know, I know God's people have always needed the Lord. I know that. But I know more about this generation. I read about other generations. I've listened to the old people tell stories about other generations. But I know more about this generation that I lived in. And I can tell you, if God's people have ever needed the Lord, we need Him now.
Amen.
We need to do as these disciples did. And every day of our life, seek to follow Jesus. That ought to be a primary objective. Preaching. Preach Jesus. Encourage God's people to look to Him and to follow Him. Let's look at a little bit about the way John the Baptist went about preaching and teaching these people in such a way that by his preaching they were encouraged to follow Jesus Christ. In verse 20, John, the Pharisees had the priests and the Levites had asked John the Baptist, "Who art thou?" And he said, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." Now that sounds very obvious, but we need to get that real straight. We are not the Christ. The scriptures warn us against when the time might come that there be those who would come around us claiming to be Christ. I tell you, when that happens, we better mark that man and stay away from him, because he is a liar in the first place, and then he's up to something that's no good if he's claiming to be Christ. Now, most of us would not hear anybody claim to be Christ with spoken word. But sometimes you can hear some of these preachers, you know, maybe on television and places, while they wouldn't come out and say that they're the Christ, they present themselves in such a way that you think they might think they are the Christ. And if they're leading you in that direction, I would say again to mark that man, even if by his actions and not his words, he leads you to think that he is the Christ, better mark him and leave him alone. Because child of God, that's not what preaching's about. That's not about exalting the preacher. You know, I heard somebody this week talking about somebody down in Savannah years ago. I didn't remember him, but one of my brothers was telling me about him. And he got a great following down in Savannah. And he would, you know, when he went about, he expected such attention. He carried guards with him. And somebody else was telling me this week about some preacher that I'm just scared of. I've known him a long time. I'm scared of him as a rattlesnake. You know, he was a community coach, and my son was playing football. You've all heard about, you know, the cussing coaches at high school, cussing coaches. Well, he had some of them too. But I'll be honest with you, I was scared of him being around this renegade preacher, so-called, than I was the cussing coaches. I'm scared of that kind of stuff. But that man, you know, they say even has guards now in the place and all kind of, it's almost like a cult. And he exalts himself, you know, man that does that. He whether he knows it or not, he is not the Christ. And I'm not the Christ. I'm not here to preach, you know, myself or any other preachers. I tell you, these preachers here today, I tell you, it's good for me to be around them, to be in all of your presence. These preachers have, you know, we go back a long time with some of them. Brother Gary was in my ordination. He was there when they liberated me. I've known Brother Jeff a long time. Last summer, I tell you, I got tired teaching. I didn't get tired of teaching. I just got tired teaching, trying to keep my preaching appointments and seeing about the responsibilities there at home and farm and family. And, you know, I just got tired. And And I went last July and spent a few days with Brother Jeff and Sister Karen, and just being with them. I think I got, you know, going to meeting and being around God's people, sometimes you just get strength from that. I just don't know how I made it that last year teaching, how I spent those few days with them. And just, you know, it's just good to be around these folks. But I tell you, that as much as they mean to me, I know that they know they're not the Christ, and I know they're not the Christ, but we are worshiping the same Christ, and that's what it's about.
Amen.
Worship of Him. You know, the Bible says, and you know it in your heart, I believe a lot of God's children know more of this stuff than they make out like they believe. You know, they say they're not many atheists and foxholes. And you press a truly born-again child of God, no matter what he's been taught, the more you press him, a lot of times, you know, unless he's been brainwashed, he's going to acknowledge he didn't have much of anything to do with his salvation. I think we know that in our hearts better than some people profess it. But the scripture says that he is the author and the finisher of our salvation. Now, if some preacher comes along and he says, well, you know, he died on the cross to save you, but you got to pay attention to me and walk down this aisle and shake my hand, let me get you in some water and get you wet all over, otherwise Christ can't save you, then by his doctrine, in my judgment, he is claiming to be the Christ, and you better mark him and leave him alone, because just like John the Baptist said, I am not the Christ, that preacher, he ain't Christ either. And he needs to get in touch with that. Have an opportunity to tell one of them. You may be casting your pearls before swine, but he needs to be told if he thinks that. And they ask him, what then art thou, Elias? And he said, I'm not. Denied being an Old Testament prophet. Art thou a prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? In other words, you know, tell me something about yourself. Who are you? Where'd you come from? You know, country folks are that way. Y'all know, they come up on somebody, they want to know who his people are, where he come from, what he's about, and who he's kin to, and usually wind up, don't you, Brother Harry? Brother Harry will find out about you. Give him a chance. But that's the way we are. That's the way we are. So these folks wanted to know about John the Baptist. Who saith thou? What saith thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This humble man out in the wilderness, crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As said the prophet Isaiah, he's the one that out in the wilderness, proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, proclaiming the coming of the kingdom, preaching repentance, baptism, baptizing God's people. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. Now they'll ask you some questions too, won't they? And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. Now, he had it right again. What he baptized with was water. I baptized not nearly as many people as I would like to have baptized, but I baptized quite a few. And all I've ever baptized with was water. Now, I'm not telling you it didn't mean anything. It meant a lot. In a sense, it meant everything to people. It meant so much to them, you could almost call it everything. You know, I baptized them in swimming pools and baptistries, and had the privilege of baptizing one in the Geechee River the other day. We call that the river. Brother Scott this morning referred to the Etowah as the river. Brother Scott, the river is the Geechee River. Isn't that right, Brother Harry?
Yeah.
But anyway, I had the privilege of baptizing this brother in the Geechee River, and I enjoyed it. It was a beautiful scene, beautiful place. But whether it was in a baptistry, a swimming pool, a pond, or the Geechee River, it was water. That's all I can ever baptize somebody with. Now, these people, that think they can take water and make spirit out of them, make Holy Ghost out of them, and by their baptism regenerate somebody. They got it all wrong. They can't do it. I knew a lady up in New Jersey who was a retired nurse there. She retired as the campus nurse from that campus where I worked, but got to know her. She was an interesting old sister, but in order she was, she told me one day that she had baptized in their order. You know, it's they prefer that their ministry do the baptism, but they think the baptism is so important to salvation that they any member of that order can baptize under certain situations. And she told me many times, she'd worked a long time as an obstetrics nurse, that she had baptized stillborn babies. Now that's a waste of time, that's a waste of water. You see, I believe that those babies were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that baptism in water would have meant a thing in the world. Heaven been just as much their home, whether she'd ever got them wet or not. Didn't have a thing to do to it. Bless her heart, she's misguided. But these people that think their water and their baptism is necessary for salvation, they're in a sense claiming to be the Christ. They're doing something only Christ can do. You better mark them and stay away from them. He said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He was talking about one standing among the Jews in that day. The Son of God had been born of a little virgin, grown up among the Jewish people and was living among them, but they knew him not. I tell you, this morning, there's one standing among you. He promised us, don't you know, that when two or more are met together in his name, that he'd be in the midst thereof. I tell you, you here this morning, it might be high time you walk down that aisle, get Brother Will to baptize you in water. But if you have an interest in that, there's one that stands among us, I believe, this morning, who's already baptized you with the Holy Ghost. You're born again by His Spirit. And what Brother Will could do for you is baptize you in water. And it'd be an answer of a good conscience. You already got that good conscience, but you answer that good conscience. Be an answer of a good conscience unto God. You take up your cross and follow Him. But John said, there stands one among you who you know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me. That's good sense, isn't it? Christ is preferred before any preacher, any man, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Don't you feel that way about your Savior? That you're unworthy to unlatch his shoelace? You know, Peter felt like he was unworthy to have the Lord to humble himself and wash his feet. We ought to feel that way before him. He was a man, as much as any man ever has been a man, but I tell you, he's as much God as the eternal God of this universe ever has been God. And he is unworthy of us to unlatch his shoe latchet. John said, these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, there where he was baptizing, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God. You remember back in the Old Testament, old brother Abraham took that boy, Isaac, up on that mountain. He later called it Jehovah Jireh. Had good reason to name it that. The Lord will provide. I don't understand that degree of faith. I tell you. You know, my children have always behaved, but they still mine. It'd be a hard thing to have to sacrifice one of them. But Abraham was prepared to do what the Lord told him to do. I can't imagine the agony that must have gone on his soul during that time. But the Lord spoke, and he looked over there, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. And there was a substitute provided. That lamb, that ram, represented the Paschal Lamb of God.
That's right.
And John knew him when he saw him. He said, and he didn't keep it to himself. He told the folks, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now the world here refers to the world of his people, the world of his elect. We understand that that reference here is not to mean all the people of the world, but it's all kinds of people. His people all over the world, from every kindred, from every tribe, from every nation, from every tongue, this world over, that are his. But he taketh away the sin. John knew he couldn't take away sin, but God could.
Right.
Jesus Christ could. Not only could he, but he did. He either took away the sin of the world or he didn't. I mean, what other options are there? He either did it or he didn't. He didn't try to do it and need your help to get it done. He didn't try to do it and need the preacher's help to get it done. He either did it or he didn't. You don't remember anything I ever say to you again, and I know you know this, but remember that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and he does. He taketh away, he did. He took away the sin of the world. Your sin,
amen,
by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, is removed as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And there's not the one who could have ever done that, and that's the Lamb of God. "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel." This man was John's cousin, but he said here he knew him not, but he knew that he was to be made manifest to Israel. "Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Now, I'm about as far as absolute predestinarian as a man can get. I hate that doctrine. I don't hate you if you believe it, but I don't like that doctrine. I'm not a fatalist. There's just things that goes on in this world that I can't blame on my Lord. There are things I've done that I'd be a low-down scoundrel if I blamed them on my Lord.
Amen.
But I do believe God is a God of providence. And I don't believe it was by chance that John was where he was and Jesus was where he was that day. That was in God's sweet and wonderful, perfect providence. He came there baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, "I saw the Spirit." I believe what he said. "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said he unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God. He saw the Holy Ghost manifest in the form of a dove. Now this man was at the right place at the right time, had been told of God that he would reveal his Christ to him, and he saw God the Spirit in the form of a dove come down upon God the Son. Now did you appreciate that? Think about what he saw. John the Baptist man out there eating locusts and wild honey and clothed in camel hair and girded with a leather belt. Just a common man, you know. In the right place at the right time, that he saw God the Spirit descend upon God the Son and God the Father, though it's not recorded right here, spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So he saw the Trinity. How much more directly can you experience the triune God than the Spirit descending upon the Son and God the Father speaking audibly from heaven? I wouldn't be up here this morning if I couldn't look back in my experience and think I'd experienced God. I tell you, I'd be a hypocrite of hypocrites if I was up here and didn't believe that I'd had some times when he called me aside and whispered peace to me and taught me things about his Son, his kingdom, his church. But I never had an experience that intense. I want you to get the picture. I want you to think about what a revelation of God that was. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." He knew it then. Looks like you could have never made him doubt it, doesn't it? He told them, people said, "This is the Son of God." That's what I'm here to tell you this morning, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Amen.
I tell you that he always has been the Son of God.
That's right.
It didn't just start when he was born of the Virgin in Bethlehem of Judea. I'll tell you something else. He still is the Son of God. And he's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and he's interceding for, Lord have mercy, such sinners as I am. Maybe we haven't experienced the triune God like John did, but if you've been ever able to be made to feel that the Son of God is sitting at the right hand of God praying for you, interceding for you, that's pretty intense too, isn't it? To feel like your name is written in heaven. That's nothing to compare with having power over illnesses and diseases and demons and such like. The Lord made that clear. But when you're made to feel like your name is written in heaven, we don't know. There's some songs that have been given to us, and some of them have been given to other folks. And sometimes old Baptists try to sing when I read my title clear. I'm talking about white old Baptists. But if you ever go to a black old Baptist church, them folks know how to sing. "When I can read my title clear, it belongs to them." But that truth belongs to all of us. What an intense experience it is. We feel like we can read our title clear. And then it goes on to say that After the next day after John stood, and the two disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. You know, that'll encourage a preacher, won't it? If I were to try to preach and I were to get a following, and I really think that, as odd as it is, I think that's happened. I think it does happen. I visited a sister a couple weeks ago whose daughter had died, and I baptized her not long before I gave up Rosemary Church. And to my knowledge, unless it's for a funeral or something like that, she never went back after I gave up the church. And it bothers me, you know. I didn't want her to be that interested in me. I wanted her to love Jesus and love His church. And that's what I want God's people to do today, is to look to the Lord, not to the preacher. John had these intense experiences. But you know what? He was not God. He was man. There are some texts that I kind of get caught by that fish hook, like I was mentioning. And there are some that every time I read them, I think about a preacher. And when he preached this text, Sister Barbara, I don't ever read this text. I don't think about your daddy. So I remember hearing him preach on this so well one time. It meant so much to me. The 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John, this is John the Baptist, had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Boy, he was human, wasn't he? Had experienced the triune God just like he had done. And now he's in prison, and he sent his disciples to ask, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Have you ever been discouraged enough that you raised that question? Lord, is this you? Should I look for something else? Are you there? Are you slam gone? Have you left me all alone? You know, there are people that think that if you ever had that experience, that certainly you were never a child of God. I didn't grow up an old Baptist, but I grew up knowing some things about the Bible. And my granddaddy had some sisters who had united with the people who believed that you could be saved one day, and if you didn't behave just right, you'd be lost the next. And that religion's not worth a plug nickel with a hole in it for me, because Brother Bird's credited with saying that a sin the size of a flea's toenail would send you to hell if it was by works. You know. But we were visiting Granddad in the hospital not long before he died. I was a teenage boy then, and Mama was there. And this sister, Granddad said, you know, he said, I feel bad all the time. I'm in pain a lot. And he said, I just don't feel very spiritual. And this man had been a Bible reader every day of his life for many, many years. He said, I don't feel like reading the Bible. He said, sometimes I don't even feel like praying. And this sister proceeded to tell him that he had probably lost his salvation. And my mama looked straight at me and she said, now you be quiet. Because she knew that I'd be more than I could stand. And it just about was. Boy, I tell you, to tell somebody that's discouraged spiritually that they've lost their salvation, man, that's a dirty, low-down thing to do, in my opinion. John the Baptist, who had seen the triune God, experienced Him as he had, came to the place that he was discouraged and sent them to ask if he, art thou he that come, or do we look for another? And this is what our Lord said. And this ought to encourage us this year, this day. What the Lord said ought to encourage every one of us who loves Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. You think you can go to church once a year and be shown some things again and get along all right? You are kidding yourself. John the Baptist, who was sent to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ, needed to be told again. Don't you reckon you and I need to be told again? Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. You know what we'll do as old Baptists sometimes? We have an opportunity to talk about the Lord with somebody, and I have been guilty of this. I'll put election in one barrel and predestination in another and shoot them with both barrels. Y'all ever done that? Man, I love those doctrines. Took me a long time to accept the fact that everybody that ever heard them couldn't believe them, you know? The Lord told him, he said, go tell them those things which you hear and see. Boy, that's a good place to start. Tell them what you hear and see. That man, the Lord healed of blindness. He didn't get one to discuss theology with him. He just knew he was blind and now he sees. I tell you, if we've been blind and now we see, we ought not be ashamed of telling it.
That's right.
We ought to be willing to tell the Lord what tell people what great things the Lord's done for us. Sister Jennifer, you know, Mama will develop some rules and houses, and all my family, none of our family on either side are old Baptist. And we have neighbors who I grew up going to church with, still live in the same area, still love those people and see them daily almost, you know, but they still think I'm wrong. And sometimes I don't have any better sits to argue with them. Sister Jennifer's kind of got a rule. If you're going to talk about religion in my house, you're going to talk about how good the Lord has been to you. That's what you need to talk about. And there's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? Again, those things which you hear and see, and this is some of the things that they had heard and seen. The blind receive their sight. You know what? The blind still receive their sight. I still believe the Lord's healing blind people physically. He's quite able to do that. Wouldn't be a bit surprised if he doesn't do it sometime. But I know all along those who are spiritually blind are made to see. I listened to an audio book about Davy Crockett, and he mentioned, I mentioned the Tennessean. He mentioned in this book, it was discussed about this Sergeant York being a descendant of Davy Crockett, and that some being some family connections there. But you know, he was so vile that, according to the movie, and I think this is fairly historical, Bro Jeff, isn't it? But went to where his mother had met the worship and shot guns and broke up the meeting there. And she's worried about him, got the preacher come to talk to him and all of that. But he just seemed to be a wicked man. And then one night, all on the way home from some sort of worldly entertainment, he was made to call on the name of the Lord. And this man became so beloved of the people of Tennessee for being a war hero in the First World War, that they bought him a farm. They had opportunities to make money, advertising and all that kind of stuff, but he wanted a little farm in Tennessee, and the people of Tennessee bought it for him. Man, that man was blind. He was made to see. Probably you can remember that experience yourself. Lord's still doing that. I'm glad he is. I know people. I love people that... And I can't see them, but by the ties of nature, I love them. I can't see a lot of evidence of grace, but I'm reminded that the Lord still takes those who are spiritually blind and gives them spiritual vision. We ought to tell that to folks. I tell you, if a preacher could do it, there are people I love by the ties of nature that I'd change them. Can't do it. It's good that way. Because I'd have messed up. I'd have regenerated mine, left yours alone probably. I mean, that's just our nature. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. These miracles. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. You know what? I believe the Lord can still do that. I don't think it's his habit, but he's capable. But he still does heal people. Don't you know of people who've been healed? I guess I look back on it and I think it was some kind of selfish in a way. But I'm not going to say that it was my prayer that was answered, but a lot of prayers. But my sister-in-law and she and my brother had no children. They're quite a bit older than me and been very close to them. And she about in 2005 was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. The surgeon in Augusta who removed her tumor said it was the biggest tumor that he'd ever removed. Talked to us and gave no chance of her living very long. We prayed for her healing, and I just, my brother didn't have any children, and he was so dependent upon her, and I begged the Lord to spare her for his sake. Mm-hmm. And she's getting things ready to take a trip to New England in a few days. She has some health problems, but most everybody her age does. She's doing mighty well. My brother passed away a couple years ago. She was there as long as he needed him. But I just believe the Lord healed her. I don't believe the devil and all his angels could convince me otherwise. But the Lord had something to do with it. He's still healing people. But I tell you, this right here, these other things, whether you question them a little bit or see them a little differently, Take that or leave it, maybe a little bit, some to leave you some liberty in it. But this one, this last one, he wanted him to go tell John that the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what Brother Manning made so precious in that sermon. The poor of this world. Oh, it's not talking about being poor in the things of this world necessarily, but it's talking about those who are poor in spirit. Those who know themselves to be hell-deserving sinners with no hope apart from the shed blood and the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they're looking to Him. There were people here like that last night. And they had the gospel preached to them. Even got some of that election, predestination, justification, glorification, and calling given to them in a gentle way. That's good stuff. Oh, how that'll help you when you're cast down and discouraged. And you know yourself to be poor in spirit and you have the gospel preached to you. And it's even encouraging sometimes when I go to a meeting and maybe I don't feel all that uplifted, but I see other people uplifted, you know. Sometimes I feel like my preaching's dry, and it is dry. Sometimes more than others. But I've been there when I felt like I didn't get a thing in the world out of my own preachers and didn't really enjoy it, but there'd be somebody there who was poor in spirit. And the Lord used an old raven to feed him. The poor. That's a miracle of God, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Would I sound too arrogant if I were to tell you I think I preached a little bit this morning? If you'd asked me this yesterday afternoon, I said, no, I didn't preach any. But I think maybe I have a little bit this morning. Now, don't you know it's a miracle of God when something like I am? Every now and then I run on people that used to know me. I came up here with Brother Johnny Coward, and we spent some time with his daughter who was here last night. And his daughter's husband's sister is married to one of my college roommates from the University of Georgia. I was a little nervous about what them folks might know about me. You know, it was different back then. But I tell you something, it's a miracle when the Lord bless somebody that's worried about people knowing him. And the Lord bless him to preach the gospel of the Son of God. We need to be told again. He is still, the Christ. He's still the Son of God. It is Jesus to whom we look. It is He that is the Lamb of God that taketh away. Did a plumb good job of it. Took it away. Took away the sin of the world, of the elect family of God. All ye little children of grace. He's who He said He was. He's who God said He was. And He is who the Holy Spirit testified that He was. And He has saved you from the devil's hell to a glory in His presence beyond our best understandings and imaginations. May God bless you.
Amen.